planning commission to order. All rise to the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Adjustments to the agenda? Any business from the audience not pertaining to tonight's hearing? Tonight, we will have a quasi-judicial public hearing in regard to a request by Verizon Wireless for the installation of a cell tower at South 42nd Street and Jasper Road. So then we'll have the legal introduction.
This hearing tonight is a quasi-judicial hearing. Quasi-judicial means that certain due process procedural rights are associated with this decision-making process. These rights include the right to notice, to present evidence, and to have a written decision based upon standards and to an impartial decision maker. The record in this matter consists of the application and any supporting information, any staff report and supporting documents, and any testimony and documentary evidence admitted during this hearing. By statute, you have the right to request that the record be held open for 7 days. You do not have to give a reason for the request, but you must make the request before the hearing is closed. If new evidence is introduced during that time, the record may be held open for an additional period to allow other parties an opportunity to respond to the new evidence. You also have a right to request a continuance of the hearing. A continuance is discretionary with the Planning Commission. The hearing procedure will be the applicant testimony and testimony by those favor, those neutral, those opposed, staff summary, rebuttal by applicant. It's staff's recommendation tonight that the hearing and the record be held open and continuance. So a decision will not be made tonight, but we will take testimony and then the decision will be made on June 16th. Any person who participates in the hearing, including tonight, you don't need to return necessarily on June 16th, but you may appeal that decision to the City Council. Please consult an attorney regarding the deadline for the appeal and the form of an appeal. Oregon Land Use Law requires that the Planning Commission disclose any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest related to this matter and allow any person to challenge the Planning Commission for bias. Generally, a conflict of interest involves a situation where the decision maker, his or her family or business would benefit or suffer by his or her decision. An ex parte contact is communication to the decision maker that includes substantive issues regarding the application and occur outside the public venue. Chair Vos, at this time, it is appropriate to open the hearing.
I'll open the public hearing. Are there, on behalf of any commissioner, any potential conflict of interest or disclosure of ex parte contact?
I have none.
We will have a staff report. Andy Lindberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Planning Commission members. The request this evening from Verizon Wireless, being made by SmartLink on behalf of Verizon Wireless, is a discretionary use permit for siting of a moderate visibility wireless telecommunications system facility. The location is immediately west of South 42nd Street, north of Jasper Road. It's close to the Springfield Relief Nursery and east of Mount Vernon Elementary School. The general location is depicted on the diagram here. The more specific location is just to the west of an existing Shell commercial building. The site is zoned and designated community commercial and is currently vacant. There is an undeveloped segment of Horace Street that extends through the site as depicted on the map. The tower location is more or less where the star is on the diagram. And the location that's been selected is for a 90-foot-high monopine design wireless facility or cell tower. The applicant's proposal is within the commercially zoned property, and the design of the cell tower is as depicted on the left, which is a 2-branch-per-foot monopine design. Staff has reviewed the available designs as provided by the manufacturer and is recommending a 3-branch-per-foot design, which mimics a sequoia or California redwood type tree that are found in the area. They're ornamental, they're not native to the area, but they are more common than the pine tree design, which is shown on the left. With the exception of this specific recommendation for the discretionary use, staff is recommending that it does meet the criteria of approval for discretionary use, and therefore warrants consideration by the Planning Commission for approval. There is an accompanying site plan, which is contingent upon issuance of the discretionary use permit. Staff also is recommending approval of the site plan, subject to conditions as outlined in the report. Of note, the applicant has changed the type of backup power generator from a natural gas-fired design to a diesel generator. As a result of that, there is a requirement for a drinking water protection permit, and the applicant has submitted that under separate cover that came subsequent to the initial application. It was a change of design that was done sort of midstream and actually following the initial preparation of the staff report. So changes were made in the staff report to accommodate the change of generator design. Staff would be reviewing the drinking water protection application in conjunction with Springfield drinking water source protection. Aside from that, standard conditions apply to the site plan review, including the installation of driveway, maintenance access for the site, and maintaining visibility at the corners of the site driveway to allow for access onto South 42nd Street. If you have any specific questions about this project, I would note that the applicant is in attendance and will be providing more technical information, but staff wanted to clarify that this represents the relocation of an existing facility from the International Paper Plant. There is a water tower on the site, and staff understands that this will be removed at some point. The applicant is looking to not only accommodate the relocation of an existing facility to maintain coverage, but also ensure that there's capacity coverage in this area of Mid-Springfield. Both have been determined to be an issue, and hence the reason for seeking this approval this evening. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
I noted on the proposed vegetation, I'm afraid I'm not a plant expert. Leland cypress, and then the shrubs, blue blossom, Oregon grape. Are these native? I mean, they're not invasive species?
Oregon grape is native, I believe. The others are not native, but they're commonly planted ornamentals that are designed and intended to be drought tolerant. So after an initial establishment period, they would be essentially allowed to grow without irrigation required. Staff did do some research into Leland cypress. They're commonly planted as a windbreak or a hedgerow type of tree. Under optimal conditions, they can get up to 50 feet high and have quite a spread to them. So the intent is to provide visual screening that would be permanent because they are evergreen. And so it screen the facilities. There's an equipment shelter and fence that are proposed at the base of the tower. This would add further screening to those facilities from view.
Thank you. I'm assuming too that the 3-branch design doesn't affect substantially the tower efficiency and capability?
Not to my knowledge. I would rely on the applicant's expertise as to the type of capabilities of the design. My understanding is that it's essentially a visual influence only. There's no limitations as to its technical capabilities. That's my understanding.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Any others?
Thank you. Yeah, I have a couple of questions. One was, I believe it hasn't been asked of the applicant whether there was a chance to leave the, or build another tower at the existing plywood. We'd like to have that question addressed. I'd also wonder, since the backup generation system has apparently been changed from natural gas to diesel, and the water quality overlay is in effect, the topographic survey that was done doesn't clearly show the existing storm drain system, although it does show that there is storm drain very close to the tower, so I think that that would need to be detailed out to by the applicant to show where that storm drain system goes to, and would that be close to the diesel storage?
I guess I would, in response to one of your questions, and I would rely on the applicant to confirm this, it is staff's understanding that International Paper desires to be a secure site. All visitors and contractors to the site are required to go through security measures at their facility. I would suspect, and cannot specifically confirm though, that third-party facilities on their site present risk and perhaps a concern to them, and they may be reluctant to provide that or maintain that on the site. That's somewhat speculative, but staff has visited the site a number of times for work that's occurring on the site and have been required to go through training and certification for site safety before entering the site and are escorted through the site and that sort of thing. So having the need to have maintenance access to these types of facilities could encumber both parties in a sense. So I will await the applicant's testimony to see if there's other factors that may weigh into this decision, but I would suspect that International Paper's site security is maybe a consideration as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Testimony from the applicant.
Do you want me to state my name? Mm-hmm. Okay. Lauren Russell, SmartLink LLC, representing Verizon Wireless. We're located at 621 Southwest Alder Street, Portland, Oregon, 97205, Suite 660. I'll just address your questions briefly before getting to this PowerPoint. So about the difference between two and three branches, I'm not a structural engineer, and we don't yet have the tower ordered, but at that point they would do a load study. From my understanding, it's mostly a cost difference because you're adding 50% more branches. So it's doable. Verizon prefers two branches, but if it is the recommendation of the commission to change, they will comply. About the existing site to be decommissioned, so the way that leases are set up, there's an initial lease period, and then it renews typically every 5 years or 10 years, depending on how it was negotiated. And it is the discretion of both the landlord and the tenant, or Verizon at that time, if they want to end the lease. And in this situation, the landlord does not want to continue letting Verizon lease part of their space and has asked them to decommission their site. So that will be happening soon. About the storm drain, that's something that I would have to have the engineer look into, and I can definitely do that before the next session.
Yeah, there's a storm drain facility roughly 80 feet east of the proposed tower. And there's no connection point for it shown to any public system.
Okay, yeah, I will make sure that we look into that. So this is just a short series of slides, mainly for the benefit of the commission and audience members about why this specific site was chosen, and then some larger pictures of the design. I know it was a little hard in the scanned copy that you were able to see online, so I wanted to have some colored versions. So this is a map that shows the EUG Springfield is the one that's pointed to. That's the one that's being decommissioned. And in order to replace that, there's Aster, which is just to the west. And that is a co-location site that has been approved through the building permit process. And then Clearwater, which is to the south, which is what we're talking about tonight. So Springfield had three different sectors covering three different directions. Aster will replace one of those sectors that will be missing once it's decommissioned. Clearwater would be another one, and Clearwater would also increase the coverage for the direct vicinity once it's decommissioned. This is the current capacity with the Springfield site that has not yet been decommissioned. So the pink and purple colors are good indoors and outdoors. Yellow and green is good indoor or good outdoors but not indoors, and fair outdoors but not good at all indoors. So the radio frequency engineer used their data to find that that light blue circle was where there was an issue that would just be compounded once the site is decommissioned. So this is where my company came into the picture. The engineer assigned us this search area, and they determined that by the coverage they want to provide, the terrain, and then the population density distribution of the area. So it's this funky shape, the two polygons. And they actually have a preferred candidate, which is in that smaller polygon. But because of site selection factors, which is their network traffic requirements, the availability of existing towers, and then the willingness of landowners to lease land, and also the jurisdiction's requirements for where facilities are allowed, most of this was off limits because it's mainly a low density residential where you cannot have a new tower. That left just a few commercial properties, and only one of them had a landlord that was interested. We contacted the school district. They did not want to have any facility on their buildings, and that would be the only ones that are allowed in that medium density residential. So we were stuck with this one candidate, and that's why we're looking at this now. So this is a map. In dark blue is the search area that we just looked at, and this is a 5-mile radius of all the existing towers. There's nothing very close by. We always check to see if co-location is a possibility. The nearest tower is almost a mile away and would not give the coverage that's needed. The next nearest is actually the Aster location, so it would provide duplicate coverage. And then the third nearest, which was the only other one under 2 miles away, is very close to that Aster co-location site, again providing duplicate coverage. So we did have to go with a raw land new tower. And this is the improvement in the capacity in the area after. You can see that Clearwater area is red and pink, which shows that they are achieving their goals and coverage. Because we're going in community commercial, we did need to create a stealth design. We went with Larson Camouflage. They have some of the best looking stealth facilities on the market. They're pretty new to Oregon, they're mostly in Arizona, but they're making their way up here. So we chose 2 branches per foot, so that's what the photo simulation show. Again, we will accept the change to 3, but just so you can see that the photo simulations are accurate, this is the actual tower that the manufacturer shows in the brochure. And then these are the locations of the photo simulations, and that's the tower as it would be looking northeast from Jasper. looking east from Horace and looking southwest from 42nd. The most important things for Verizon in designing this was to make sure that it looks like a real tree, that it tapers at the top so it doesn't, you know, end flat, and to make sure that the antennas are flush mounted against the pole so that branches extend beyond it, so it looks as much like a tree as a cell tower can. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
I got a question. It seems like the existing tower is almost in between the proposed and the water tower one. It's right on Main Street, it looks like. You said that one wouldn't be a good co-location?
No, because this specific assignment, this searching that we got, was not just to provide coverage that would disappear, but also to extend it more south into this area of Springfield that we're looking at on Jasper. And the one that's just south of the to be decommissioned site does not fulfill that objective.
Anything else?
I know there are several manufacturers of these stealth cell towers, and I've seen some that don't really look, and I think you addressed that. And I would just like to say I appreciate Verizon's stance to have this. You know, I've seen them with the antennas extend clear out past the foliage on the top of the branches. And the examples that you've given, I think, are good examples of newer technology that is much more pleasing to look at. More natural.
Yeah, so that was the goal. Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you. Okay. Public testimony. Do we have anyone who wishes to speak in favor of this application? Okay, I have one card. I have two cards that are against. The first is Scott Jackson.
My name's Scott Jackson. I live at 4105 Jasper Road. My father lives next door at 4123, and we also have a rental property at 804 South 42nd Street, which is one lot away from the Relief Nursery, so all very close. We've really done some work on this. My father went and spoke with Andy. I've spoken with Lauren, and to follow up on your concern, we looked at the Glenwood tree, and she told me that is not going to be what it looks like. I asked her where one was that we could go look at, and she came back. She was able to locate one in Central Point. We went down there on Saturday. We looked at it. It was on a Boy Scouts of America lot. And it was a 100-foot tree, and I believe that was a 2-branch-per-foot tree. We saw it. We weren't really impressed with the actual needles on the tree because it looked like a pine tree. She sent me a copy of Larson's product outline, and I would ask to see if Andy said that they were going to go with more of a sequoia looking one, and I don't know if this is a picture of it. I would love to be able to go and personally see one in person. I don't at this point know where one is. And so that is something that we would definitely like to do. We would prefer that it would be in a more commercial area. There are a lot of homes in this area. City of Springfield's built hundreds of homes since the Jasper Road improvements and the 42nd Street improvements. You know, we've given up 15 feet of property. You know, we paid for sidewalk improvements, and we believe it is a residential neighborhood, even though we understand it is some commercial community. And one thing I'd like to say, and I don't know if it makes any difference, but the pictures of Sim 1 and Sim 2 and the angles are just not accurate at all. The only one that I saw that was accurate was Sim 3. So I just wanted to put that in there. Thank you.
Thank you. Also opposed, James Jackson.
Let me get your wheelchair.
No. We'll get there. It just takes a little time.
Yeah, right here.
I'm Jim Jackson. I live at 4123 Jasper Road. And I'm supporting my son in this. And I think it's important that you have a facility that people can see. That's all I have to say. I support my son.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak in opposition? Okay, testimony that is neutral. I have one card. Kelly Sutherland.
Good evening.
Can you state your name and address?
Yes, I will. Thank you for letting me be here. I'm Kelly Sutherland, Executive Director at Relief Nursery, Robin Jacob Child and Family Center. I'm really here only to make sure that the commission understands the location of the tower and to just raise a few questions for you to consider. Our nursery building is the closest structure to the tower, to the proposed tower. And I don't know if you could put a picture up where you could see it a little bit more closely. There's also a path that runs adjacent to our building to the Mount Vernon Elementary School. Parents and their children walk up and down this path every single day, and our children play in this playground. That was a pretty good picture that last one. So if you see the star where the site is, and then the dotted line, which isn't the Horace Street non-developed road, that is a path, a walking path. And parents walk along 42nd Street and then go along that path with their children to Mount Vernon and to our nursery from these other areas. And our children play in this playground right here. We have three sites of playgrounds, and then of course the Mount Vernon children are out here. I understand from Andy that, I didn't see this, but that there's really no cause to make the medical issue or health concerns as part of any contrary argument for the siting. But I do also know that we don't test on children, and there hasn't been any test at all on the effects of these towers on children who are outside near these towers on a regular basis, either living or being cared for there. So I'm just making sure that everybody here understands how close this tower is to our facility and to the children that are going to be playing. And the other issue that was just noted, which is the diesel generation backup. My question, drinking water is hugely significant for us in that area. I mean, we're right there, of course, and there's children, hundreds of children in this other building. But the other is the noise, and I really don't have any idea what that might be. So I would hope that that would be something that the applicant could adequately address before you made any decision about this. I really would just urge the commission to consider other locations if there are other locations that are available. I'm not suggesting it's a problem, and I'm not here in opposition to it. I'm just here to raise these issues and to make sure that everyone knows the siting of this is right there, you know, looking right out of our window. and perhaps maybe with even on the same plot, there's a way to position the tower, which is even just a little bit further away. Thank you.
Thank you. Staff summary?
In summary, staff's recommendation is consistent with the report that you have before you, which is to modify the design to a 3-branch per foot style, which is intended to address the compatibility with other actual trees that are found in the vicinity and in the community. It would address some of the concerns about being conspicuous and visible from areas on the perimeter. And staff's observation is that the intent of this facility over time, the site will develop, presumably with commercial development on the street frontages, both Horace Street, Jasper Road, and South 42nd. Having the facility sited as it is will allow it to be at the back of future development that will be occurring on these sites. The applicant has located the facility such that it does not prevent future development on the remainder of the site. And so there are constraints to relocating it. Presumably the property owner would express the same concerns about potentially affecting future development potential if it is relocated. So there is likely some adjustment potential, but the location has been selected to allow for future development on the north side of Horace Street at such time as that street connects through. That being the most viable commercial development space would be the immediately accessible portions. So staff, again, recommends approval of the discretionary use permit as well as the site plan, which was accompanying that report. There are conditions attached to that. The applicant does have a noise study that was submitted as part of the application materials. The noise study found that the generation of noise by the cooling fans that are required for the electronic equipment in the shed, the equipment shelter, would not create a noise above the amount that would be excessive above ambient noise levels in the area. The noise study that was done determined that there's traffic in the area, there's commercial properties, so there's a certain amount of traffic associated with South 42nd Street and Jasper Road. These elevate some of the ambient noise levels in the area, and so a cooling fan, not dissimilar from a household air conditioning unit, does not present a noise that would be untoward in the neighborhood. As well, being separated by distance from the nearest residences also diminishes the noise. The applicant's also looking to plant vegetation surrounding the facility, which not only from a visual buffer will deaden the noise over time as the vegetation matures. All of these factors in the siting and the design of the facility are intended to address the criteria, which include noise and effects on nearby properties. I just wanted to point out there was a question about the drinking water. Through this staff review and subs review of the drinking water protection permit, there will be a requirement for secondary containment on the site. So in the event of diesel fuel spill or a breach of the tank, there would be provision for it to be kept on the site and cleaned up. There also will be the requirement the applicant will need to periodically run the generator in order to refresh the diesel and just maintain the system. And this would not be dissimilar from, an engine, a vehicle operating, someone running their diesel truck in their driveway, as an example. So all of these factors contribute to no deleterious or adverse impact to the neighborhood. So I just wanted to address some of the questions that were raised. If there's any follow-up questions, again, staff is recommending continuance of the hearing to the June 16th meeting.
What is the setback from that trail that runs between, from 42nd Street, between the relief nursery and the site goes to the back of the Mount Vernon school site?
I think it's approximately 55 or 60 feet.
Okay.
That's to the tower itself. It's lesser of a distance to the fenced enclosure surrounding the compound for the tower.
The fenced enclosure is about how big?
If you give me a second, I'll give you I unfold a larger plan here, but I can cite the dimensions right from the applicant's submittal here. So the applicant's proposed lease area is about a 40 by 40 foot site. And according to this diagram, the tower is about 54 feet from the property line, and the path is set back into the property, I would estimate about 8 to 10 feet. So we're looking at around 60 plus feet between the tower itself and the path. The fenced enclosure is closer. It's about 40 feet away, the edge of the fence line. That said, and the equipment enclosure is within that fenced enclosure. I don't believe that's the area of concern. I believe it's the tower itself, so I'm citing the dimensions that are provided for the setback from the actual tower itself, the tower structure.
I noted the discussion concerning the diesel generator. Plans to do anything to suppress noise, diesels. I mean, I work at the hospital and they're noisy.
Correct. I believe that the applicant's noise study, and I guess I'll maybe ask the applicant to clarify, I believe that there was provision for muffling. That's a word, muffling, a muffling of the noise, a specific exhaust type of equipment that will muffle the noise to mitigate the noise of the diesel generator being fired. I don't know the difference as far as noise output for the diesel versus natural gas fired generators. I suspect that they're similar, but maybe not identical. The natural gas fired generator also would be producing noise. The concern was less the noise as the fuel. From the fire department and the subwaters perspective, as well as staff's perspective.
Also, based on the information that was submitted, you did indicate that the generator would be fired on a periodic, regular basis to keep the fuel fresh and that type of thing. And I think what was in the submittal was on a weekly basis.
My recollection as well.
And I think one of the pieces that I am a little bit concerned about is when that should occur. Certainly should not occur when kids are exiting or entering school along the pathway or during times when, it would be really disruptive to kids on playgrounds and things of that nature because of its proximity. Just a note.
Correct. And I don't have information as to the maintenance scheduling. I would imagine that it would be daytime hours. They would be limited by noise, the noise ordinance of the city as well. I guess I can't speculate. I would imagine it would be midday when someone would be doing maintenance rounds for this and other facilities in the community. And
I think they're set on a timer, if I'm not mistaken. The school district has it. I think the ones at the hospital are the same. I think they cycle on a time-related basis. But
there may be an opportunity in response to the testimony and the concerns expressed here for the applicant to look at timing to optimize or minimize disruption to the neighborhood, but also
minimize conflicts with passersby and proximity of children in the area. There's operating hours for both the schools and the relief nursery, I presume. So there may be times, windows of opportunity, where there won't be the same conflicts. Yeah.
My thoughts are that the only time the agent, generally on return testing, and the other time would be under emergency situation, under no power, when every plant is running, so they have phone service.
Any other questions? Any rebuttal or further comments from the applicant?
So regarding the noise of the generator, I have the report in front of me, and just real quick, because we went back and forth between natural gas and diesel, we actually got a noise report for both, and the difference in the decibels produced was negligible. They're basically equal. The generator that's proposed, it produces 76 decibels at 23 feet with a critical grade muffler, but the way that it's being located is so that the actual decibels that would be received on the north property, which is the relief nursery, would be lower. So it's located within the shelter. The engine air discharge and exhaust are on the south side, so it would not be facing the north side where the nursery is. And the air intake is on the east side. A lined hood will be provided on the air intake and discharge. So based on those design considerations and the distance between its location and the property to the north, the decibel level would be 55, which is below the 60, which is required by the code. Generally, they test once a week for about 15 minutes, and it is a cycle. And it's often 10 a.m., but I know that in situations where there's a location that may be concerned with the noise, they can definitely change the time of day when it would be to make sure that it does not cause disturbances. So I can go back to the construction engineer and see what time they would propose, if that would be helpful.
Any other questions? Okay. Consideration for request for continuation, and I understand we are.
Yeah, I would just move for a continuation of the record and the hearing until June 16th, 2015.
I'll second that.
All right. Motion by Commissioner James, second by Commissioner Moe.
I can't.
If you would like to, before you vote, you can take additional testimony. You haven't voted yet.
I didn't hear any clarification on this tree, the sequoia branches. I didn't see a picture. I don't know if this is it. I'd like some clarification there. And also to ask Lauren to be able to try to find a site that we could go look at. But I'd like to get some kind of clarification on this. Thank you.
Did you have one? Sorry. I just want to say thank you very much for your remarks and considering the children. It's clear that is prevalent in your mind, and the 10 a.m. and changing that to a later time during the day would be very beneficial, even though it is only 15 minutes at 10 o'clock once a week. That's right when the children are outside, and I know seeing the Mount Vernon children, that's when they're outside too, so that would be extremely helpful.
So you might need your motion again. I apologize for that confusion.
Motion by Commissioner James.
Move again.
Second.
Yes. Yeah. I would move that the record and the hearing remain open until June 16th, 2015.
Second.
Discussion, I guess, is next.
Just a vote.
Okay, vote on the motion. A voice vote only. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. So.
Just one follow-up comment. I think it is important that we address the issue of, and I think you could enter into the public record that drawing of the tree and your concern, you voiced your concern, and that is part of the public record now. We will be having a subsequent hearing on the 16th, and so I think it's important that the applicant bring forward more information on how the proposed tree is going to look. So.
Okay, discussion? So what, where are we at now?
Well, you can just skip right on down to report of council action.
Okay, I need to close the public hearing yet, don't I?
No, so that was the motion, was to leave it open.
The motion was to leave it open.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Council action. Any business from the planning commission? Business from staff or the director?
No, sir.
Okay. Adjournment thing.
Well, the boxes came out.